Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Rick Glassman episode. Rick was highly recommended by our friend Sean Skellington from the Necroelectric podcast. My favorite part of his interview when he was talking about his parents' carpet and flooring business. He did several commercials, and that was my favorite part. I hope you enjoy. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time, podcaster and comedian, Rick Glassman. Thanks for coming, man.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the intro?
Yeah. It was, okay. Yeah. I really did.
You did?
Yeah, I really
did. Did it calm you down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the way you, when you kept the pedal on as you were standing up, and like I didn't want it to stop, and like you let me.
Yeah.
All right, now we're about to start.
I wanted to sustain the note.
Yeah, did you put an emphasis on that in case I didn't know that that was a sustained pedal?
I haven't really thought that deeply about it because it's only been a couple seconds since I was at the piano. But I think, Craig let me borrow Amadeus about Sir Mozart, and so maybe subconsciously I wanted to do a good job musically as far as that last note.
But I wasn't asking about your decision to put your foot on the pedal.
I thought that's what you said.
I wanted to sustain. I'm saying the way you said the word sustain.
Sustain.
It felt like you were like doing a pun.
Oh, no. I'm not that clever to even think about a pun like in that regard. I meant sustain as far as to elongate. I don't know if that's
Stevie,
a word.
Stevie, I know why you use the word sustain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like the choice.
Okay, yeah, but it wasn't about a pun.
Let me show you. Can I give you an example
so
you can see what I saw?
Okay.
All right. Here's how I would have said it without anything going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I'm having a good time with you. I really want to sustain this friendship. Okay. Now, if I just played the piano and I held a note and I wanted you to hear me be clever with the word, I would say like, hey, man, this is really great hanging out. I'm glad. I hope we could sustain our friendship. And you did that.
Oh.
We'll rewind the tape. Are you going to do some editing?
No, we're not going to edit. This is going to be full. Just the whole.
I do a lot of we're back.
Okay. We do that, too. But I'll have to take a look at it. We're already starting out hot. I like that. Yeah. I noticed just right off the back, you're quick on your feet there.
Yeah, I hope I could sustain the bits for the rest of the podcast, or should I say the piano cast, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. Firstly, I wanted to thank Sean Skellington. So shout out to our friend
Sean
Skellington. He brought you to my attention.
Yeah.
And then he's the one that actually planted that seed of getting you. Like, you should do stuff.
He said you should
do
Stevie's. I'm like, yeah, that would be great. And he said, I'll get you guys in touch.
Mm-hmm. And because we're going to talk about it. We're going to get all into it.
I am not worried.
Okay.
If we don't get into it, you'll have me back.
But for sure. Would you come back, though, already? Just your experience thus far, would you come back?
I feel like thus is like a fancy way of saying so.
So far.
Yeah, it's like when...
You know what? You just read my mind. Because right when I said thus, and then literally I thought of S-O. I go, you should have said so far.
Yeah.
Thus. Oh, I was...
Mozart.
Yeah.
We both said Mozart at the same time.
Yeah. Check that out. Hey, cheers for I guess let's cheer. What are we cheering for?
Something happened that was just weird. You go first.
I was just gonna say this is for a safe holiday season, safe shopping, New Year's as well, New Year's Eve, because I know things could get crazy that night.
So I picked up the soda in an attempt as if we said Mozart at the same time and whoever drinks first, but I realized I never set that game up.
Oh, but you set it up in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or would you say that I put it on the piano bench of my heart? Oh, I don't like that joke.
Yeah.
We're gonna,
yeah. God, now, can I tell you what's going on in my brain now?
I'd rather not. I'd rather just get to it.
I'm just gonna, because I don't want it, because it's
gonna bother me. Then why'd you ask?
All I can think about now is the word sustain. Yeah. It's gonna be there for an hour. How do I get rid of sustain?
Well, there's two ways. One is easy, and one is difficult. Which way would you like? What do you guys think?
Let's ask the studio audience.
Sure. You think both.
Forget about it. It's no big deal. Okay, it's no big deal. The show must go on. How did you meet Sean?
So you don't want an answer?
I don't want to. I want. Okay. This is the way I'm dealing with getting past the stage.
Well, I'm going to have to start to, I need a music term. I can't think of one. Melody. I don't know. I couldn't think of any pun.
Yeah.
Oh, reminds me of my mother-in-law. That bitch can't make a pun if you gave her a turkey dinner.
Can you define pun? My girlfriend tried to explain it to me the other day. Because she loves puns, but just for your average, pun for dummies,
right?
Like myself, can you explain to the viewer what's the definition of pun?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, where does it come from? Like the roots of puns.
The root pun is pononymous, which is Latin for to fool. Which, incidentally, a pun is not to fool; rather, it is to be satirical within on the same page. May I give you an example?
Yes, please.
A pun without the other person noticing isn't a joke. You need the person in on it. That's why the saying "no pun intended" came so popular, which was to let people know, "Hey, in case you didn't catch it, I made a pun." It's like I'm a poet and I didn't even know it. It's braggadocious. So the pun in the late 70s became known as this braggadocious type of art form, this creative type of comedy where it's, I'm better than you. Look what I'm noticing that you're not. It's a talking down to. It wasn't until the mid-90s when Will Smith from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air made the pun popular when somebody said, that's not very funny. But he goes, no, but it's very punny.
And is that when he was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Or when he was rapping as well? Like, how far back in Will's career?
This was way before the show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. This is something he said with friends and family when he was a little boy.
Boy, how do you know so much about Will Smith?
Recently had him on my podcast. That's Take Your Shoes Off, YouTube, iTunes, all the places. And we talked a lot about The Fresh Prince. We'll cut to a clip.
Okay. Hold up. You just blew my mind, Rick, there.
You think that's good? You should hear me play the piano.
You had Will Smith on your podcast.
Do you want to know the long answer or the short answer? What
I don't
do you guys
know, but
think?
That's blowing my mind. You just blew my mind because that's not a normal. That's like.
Yeah.
You know that's that's getting someone there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I met him at a bowling alley. I was, I don't know, 20. I was young, but like
this is a true story.
No.
This is not a pun.
No. Those two things aren't mutually exclusive, but since I answered you honestly and away we go, I guess I will continue. Home audience, we're on the same page.
You met Will.
Yes.
At a bowling alley. Continue.
This is a cocky way of explaining this.
I like, just be confident.
Bill met me in a bowling. Bill. Will met me at a bowling. Because of B for bowling and W for Will.
Gotcha.
Also, if you turn a W 90 degrees to the right.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like
a,
yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Without the back end.
You just gotta add
which
line.
With Will Smith, he's got enough back end for the two of us.
Exactly.
So I'm bowling near a perfect game. Mm-hmm. I'm 9 frames in, bowl a strike. I'm 3 frames away from a perfect game. The bowling alley is crowding around. Okay.
Where were you located?
This is in Kent, Ohio, where I went to school.
Ohio.
Yes.
Just to give him context. Continue.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's crowding around and it's getting to this point to where I am becoming more superstitious and around frame 6, I'm like repeating the same thing with the resin bag and I'm sitting in the same seat. I'm looking forward. I'm not talking. I'm trying to repeat everything. Now, in the 10th frame and I see, Will Smith is there. At the time, I don't know why he's there, but I do clock that he's there. And what I'm thinking, for whatever reason, my instincts are, you bowl a perfect game with Will Smith, you guys are going to be friends. Go up, strike. I'm 10 strikes in. I'm two away from a perfect game. And then the next bowl, I got an 8 and then a spare. I picked it up at 288. A great game. But, yeah. Anyway, talk to him for a little bit. And he leaves. Cut to 12 years later, I have a meeting at my agency. Will Smith walks out.
What agency is that?
Central, CAA. What is that? Creative Artists Agency.
CAA.
Which Will Smith is not with.
You would assume he would. Oprah's with him, Tom Hanks, people like Natalie Portman, you know, right?
Yeah, well, so
that's the biggest one, right?
So, Tom Hanks, Natalie Portman, and Oprah, what do those three things have in common? You're saying it's the agency?
Well, I think, aren't they all, I'm just assuming there was CAA. I don't know for a fact.
Let me tell you, if there's one thing I could tell you about this business, never assume you know whose agent is whose, because those things fall like flies. So there I was in the hallway. Will Smith walks by. I have a second to get his attention. I say, Will, I'm the guy that almost bowled the perfect game.
Wow.
Got in a conversation. 2 days later, he came over for a podcast. Comes out this Monday.
Can we talk? What's the name of your podcast?
It's called Take Your Shoes Off.
So everyone, take your shoes off. It's coming out. Oh, this is going to be dropping later, but they could always
go back.
They could go back. So
yeah, youtube.com/RickGlassman.
So Take Your Shoes Off podcast. It's Rick Glassman's podcast. Is it on YouTube and audio? Like what platforms like
YouTube? You know, it's all audio. Apple Podcast and Spotify and YouTube. My Instagram at Shoes Off Pod.
Yeah,
you could find it though. I want to like make sure you see it, but I don't mean to make a commercial. If we were to cut to a commercial,
I like commercials.
Could we cut to my father's area rug store, Marshall Rug Gallery?
Yeah,
in Cleveland,
let's
Ohio?
Let's talk about your dad's rug store. Well, yeah,
first we'll cut to a clip.
Okay.
If you're looking for just the right flooring, you need choices. At Marshall Carpet One, you'll find thousands of choices, including carpet, hardwood, rugs, and luxury vinyl. So make the right choice and visit Marshall Carpet One and Rug Gallery. And we promise, with more than 50 years as a family-owned business, we've got you covered.
And we're back.
And we're back. Okay, so take your shoes.
That's my dad's rug store. That's Marshall Rug Gallery. Thanks for putting
that in.
I will email you the commercial to put in.
This platform's all about promoting and, you know, shining light.
Can I say something that's really corny?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's too corny.
I still want to talk about this Will Smith thing, though. It's like still, my mind's spinning.
Okay.
It's just like, I'm freaking out right now.
Okay.
Because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Even Jaden, parents don't understand.
You know, it's a little condescending.
His rap's him and Jazzy Jeff. Remember Jazzy Jeff?
Why even Jaden as opposed to Jaden as well? Even Jaden implies that it shouldn't be.
Jaden's very talented.
But you said even Jaden. If I said, even Stevie. It's like, Stevie.
We're gonna edit that. We're going to make it sound better than the way I said it.
You can't. You said it goes all the way through.
I know. But
and you
got
to stick to it, man.
So all of the Smiths, I highly, highly, highly respect.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let's go back to Ohio, like... Because you're with a certain agency. I won't say who, even though we already talked about them.
Whom?
How did you get...
The Whom agency. The William the whom? Oregon we'll just Hey say Man agency.
How did it go from Ohio at a bowling alley to starting comedy to CAA comedy podcasts and the top of the mountain? I know that's a little broad, but let's talk about...
They actually like to be called tiny people now. Hey, little broad.
How did it all start for you?
Okay. I don't know if you guys do this, but if you could you push it on me in post for this when I...
Yeah,
you want to just do it practically now for 1 second while I...
Okay.
All right, so ask me that question again and then pull it on me. And then after, I'm going to say my line, which is, so there I was, and then you could kind of pull
it's like
back.
It's like a book.
It is a
book. Okay, here we go. So how did you get your start?
You're going to need to like really...
Okay.
We'll do it again. I'm sorry. Okay. One more time.
So, Rick, how did you get your start in entertainment and comedy and podcasting? Huh.
So there I was, college graduate. I got my real estate license in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't know if I wanted to sell houses. I knew I wanted to make bank. So a year and a half goes by. I start doing stand-up comedy. I sell two houses. I'm living with my parents. I literally make $4,000 in 12 months, minus the $1,800 it costs to get the license. I'm 22 deep, and baby, that just pays for lunch. So I realize, no, this real estate thing, it could work if my heart was in it, but it's not a choice what our heart goes into. We could fall in love with the craft, but we can't pick what craft we fall in love with.
Hello.
Hi. So I moved to Los Angeles. My girlfriend at the time goes with me. Now, I wasn't in love with her. Ooh. She knew that. Before we even moved, I said, I'm not in love with you. If you're moving for me, there was a situation. She had to live with me because she didn't talk to her dad anymore, and her mom's house just burnt down. Jesus, that's her luck, right? So she's living with me and my parents. Wow. So when I move, she doesn't have a home. She moves. It's odd. It's an odd situation.
How old were you during this
At that point? Mm-hmm. 23.
23.
Years?
Yep.
And a lot happens between them, but I don't want to bore you with my story. I want to enjoy you with our time. Okay.
We don't have to do that. Yeah. We don't have to do that. You know what? I don't know how many episodes you've done, but I've been doing this on a weekly basis. Mm. I think that maybe even Craig have mentioned this. I think with comedians or just seeing guests every week, I just turn into a robot. Mm. Like I just ask the same questions. So, what's the open mic process like? Oh, when did you start doing bringer shows? Oh, okay, when did you, get your development deal? Oh, I say the same stuff. When did you decide to sign with Gersh? Or what was the difference between William Morris and Gersh? What's it like selling tickets for bringer shows? And, I mean, was it, like, when you first start doing mics, when you first start doing mics, was the audience receptive to your jokes or whatnot? How did you come up with all your jokes? Like, what's the
Whoa, slow down, Stevie. I haven't even thought of the first 20. Hey! Why, if you're not interested in those questions, why are you asking them?
I think that because...
Hold on, before you answer.
Go ahead, Rick.
Before you answer, you didn't think. That's the thing. You started answering before you even registered. I'm not here to be sold an answer. I'm here to figure shit out, baby. Okay. Let's take a second. And while we're waiting, we'll cut to a commercial. Our sponsors, that's Marshall Rug Gallery in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, this is...
At Marshall Carpet One, you'll find...
And we're back. Make sure you go to Marshall's.
Why is it that you're asking those questions? Take 5 seconds
I think,
to think about that.
Okay, let
Please.
Me just... Okay, let me think.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give...
Shh.
I think it has, I'm not blaming my ethnicity or my, it's like a cultural thing, but it is.
So you are blaming
it. Is
it.
Somewhat. It, so it is somewhat.
It's okay, but.
It's the way, it's like the very Korean to want to play it safe.
I was how always is that safe?
It's almost because I know it's safe because I've asked these questions on a weekly basis, and nothing exploded, and we ended up getting through the episode. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah. then, what you're saying is, how I interpreted it was, just keep it organic. It doesn't really matter.
Well,
let's just talk.
I was truly asking because it depends on your reason. If your reason was you want to keep everything fixed and change one variable, and that variable is the guest. So how are these podcasts different if I ask the same question? If that was your reason, that would be different, but it isn't. It's fear-based. Now,
fear-based.
What I think is interesting
is fear-based.
Not how to stay safe, but what your definition of safety is.
Safety is...
Lack of change?
Yeah, but then also it's a form of insanity if you want to even go further on, because insanity is like I'm expecting.
But you're not.
I'm
but it's
doing
not
the same.
But it's
thing.
Not the same thing because you have a different variable, which is the guest.
Oh,
so
you're
that's
right,
not insanity,
you're right,
and you're not
you're
expecting
right.
the same result, or you just put out the same episode. I think the problem isn't the feelings we have, but the shame we have about them. And if we could start to recognize why we're scared,
I think you're right. Yeah.
And if it's safety, let's try and expand why we need to feel safe. I would argue that it's not safe to put out the same thing every time because then there's no room for growth. Listen, if life itself decided to stay exactly where it was, well, we'd be amoebas in the ocean, my friend.
Right,
we need to
right.
grow.
Now, are there examples where...
No.
Because I want to see both the pros and cons. Are there examples where... No. People have decided to play it safe.
Oh,
and what
yes.
are the repercussions of that? Go ahead. Let me make some examples.
You know, I can't tell you any names of anybody that played it safe, and that's my point.
So would you even go as far as saying you have to be the opposite of safe in order to,
no.
to get higher up the mountain?
No, no. I would say that when you equate safety and let it control you, whether to avoid it or to seek it, well, then you've already lost, my friend. And that's why it's important to acknowledge, of course, we all want to be safe. But if safety is our only desire, we're going to start seeing safety as a necessity in a way that it doesn't even exist. If you're too scared to lose something, then you're going to treat it like you're too scared to lose it. Now, I could be very scared to lose something,
right.
But if I'm going to make all of my decisions based on that, then I'm not living a life of honesty. I'm living a life in prison.
In fear. Now, would you say, I agree.
Mm.
Would you say that the majority of people living today are living in safety? They're doing the same 9-to-5 job, you know. They're going to the factory that their fathers went to and their grandfathers went to. They're bringing their pale lunches to work. They're going to live on their pension and so on. Mm. Don't you think that's like your average American? They're playing it safe. That's the way I kind of see it. But we're in a different time now, aren't we?
Well, that's two questions. I'd like to answer the first
one.
Go
ahead.
The truth is, I see what you're saying. A lot of people work in their 9-to-5s. I don't know what they're seeking. I'd be a fool to pretend I did. I'll tell you what I do know. 9-to-5, though safe, isn't a problem if that's what you want. I want safety, not in what job am I going to have, but to make sure that my family could eat.
Yeah.
And there, he's providing, or she. You have to say that now.
Right.
You have to say that.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Yeah.
Or should I say we get to say that?
We.
Yes.
That's safe.
Yeah.
We.
Yeah.
We all
and you know what's interesting about safety?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we all strive to sustain 2-3. Follow me to the piano. But yeah, man, I don't know. And the second question is, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think
so. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's a great question. And I'm glad that you're asking new questions.
I just thought of this. What was that movie, Into the Wild? This was a long time ago where the guy...
I think it was Office Space.
No, it was not. Okay. I love that movie, by the way.
Yeah.
I love Office. Okay, but that's a good example also. Let's stick with Office Space. I just saw it last week.
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant.
Inatech.
Mm.
Isn't that safe? Is Inatech the safe choice? Although it was miserable working at Inatech. But they still went to the same office every day until they...
Yeah, you know, Stevie?
Yeah.
Stevie?
Yeah.
That's a thing I discovered while podcasting.
That's fine.
I do is I say the person's name.
Yeah,
I then
question
if that's what it is, and then I confidently assert that it in fact is. Do you want to try it? I've done this on my podcast. It's a great exercise.
Okay.
Do you understand what it is yet?
Oh, can you say it again?
Yeah.
My mind just...
You say it, you question it, and then you assert it. Stevie?
Yes.
Stevie. Like that.
Yes, Rick.
Yeah, so first you say the name,
Rick?
And then you question, is that correct? And then after I confirm it is, then you confidently say it again.
Okay, do it again.
Okay, so Stevie?
Yes, Rick.
Stevie. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, it did.
All right, so go ahead, try it.
Okay, so don't you think that the people, when they showed up to Inatech, don't you think they were being safe?
You do the name shit.
Oh, I forgot.
Rick.
Rick.
Okay, so don't you think that when the characters in Office Space showed up to Inatech, don't you think that's playing it safe? Rick. Right, Rick?
Oh, bad dude.
I'm sorry. I'm not an actor. I'm trying. I feel like we're doing improv. I'm trying.
Could you show him what we mean? Could you step in for a second and show him what?
He's just saying, like,
could you do it with me off camera? Just,
just do it.
Talk to me. Here, watch this.
It's Rick?
Yeah.
Rick?
Well, no. You say it, first you say it, hey Stevie, and then you realize, wait a minute, is it Stevie? So you ask, you go, Stevie, and then Stevie goes,
yeah.
And then I go, Stevie, because now I'm sure. So you say it, you question it, and then you assert it. Stevie,
so isn't
Stevie? Stevie.
Isn't that right, Rick? Right, Rick?
No, but when you say right, you're not questioning my name, you're questioning the context again.
Okay.
Do you want me to write it down for you? Here, I'll write it down for you. Give me a piece of paper, it's right behind you, there's a note card.
I'd rather you do an index card. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. I feel like
okay,
I'm in, like,
so you say
class.
You say my name, Rick.
Okay.
And then you go,
so we're doing,
Rick.
Is this like an improv acting exercise we're doing? Like, what's going on here? Okay, this is fun.
Okay, so I wrote it like this. I put Rick.
Okay.
Rick question mark. Oh, when I say yes, Rick exclamation point. Now, exclamation point doesn't mean yell. It just means a choice.
Okay. So this, can I start? Just tell me when to start and tell me when my cue is. Rick?
Yeah.
Rick.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. That was good. That helped me out. The visual cues really helped me out. I don't know why. It just did.
VQHMO.
Yeah, yeah.
Visual cues, Rick, help me out.
Rick? Rick. Yeah. You're my guy. Okay, can we go back to Inatech? Okay. So, because I think this is a very interesting topic for me because, you know, a lot of people relate, most people can relate to it. But, like, going back to Inatech.
You're talking about safety.
I'm talking about office space and safety, life choices.
Those are the big three?
Occupational choices. Mm. Occupational life choices.
Yeah.
Inatech.
OLCs.
The people that work there, they showed up every day, but they were miserable. Why? I mean, but they played it safe. So, like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, don't you think most people are like that?
Stevie, I already told you, I'm not sure. I think we got to move on to the next question.
When did you decide personally?
Well, what else would I decide for someone else?
No, personally, when did you decide not to be in safety and to just break free and just do what you do?
I love being safe. I wear sweats because I feel uncomfortable in pants.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't leave my house much because I can have food brought.
Okay.
I love being safe, but there are some things that don't make me fearful that make others fearful. And safety.
Give me three examples or 3 to 5 examples of that.
So why not just, so 4. I'll give you 4.
Yeah, give me 4.
Okay. I'm not afraid to go and put my comedy out there, go on stage, do weird stuff. I'm not afraid to tell the woman that I love that I love her and make choices to make sure that there are no games being played and I'm choosing honesty as a language. I'm not afraid to have the hot chicken at Howlin' Rays, which this isn't an ad, but shout out to Howlin' Rays, one of my favorite chickens.
Is it good?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Is it worth the wait?
Because
there's always a line.
Yeah, I buy fast passes. But that's another...
Okay.
I've never waited for it.
Okay, you have one left.
I'm verified.
That was your third one, by the way, Rick.
I know.
Okay.
And you know what else I'm not afraid of that a lot of people are afraid of?
Yeah.
Vulnerability. I'm not perfect.
Now, give me examples of what does that even mean? What, like, vulnerability and what? Like, give me examples of vulnerability.
Are you straight?
Yes. Okay. I have a girlfriend for 3 years. I love her very much.
Oh.
Yeah, 3.5. We're going on 4 years myself.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I asked if you were straight because I wanted to... explain this to what type of lover you would have, a male or a female. And not that there's anything wrong with any of it. One of my best friends would agree.
Yeah.
So.
you're killing it right
now.
Just keep going. I love it. Yeah,
so, push in. No, I'm just kidding. So, you're with a woman. You're not sure if she likes you. Okay. It's a third date.
No, third date. So this is early.
It's a second date.
Okay, so it's fresh.
Yeah, and the first date was with a group.
Ooh, so that technically wasn't a date.
It was a date because you guys went bowling
together.
But you
said it was a group thing.
You went bowling together. You bowled a game by yourself. People just happened to come around. So you spent like 70% of it with other people. But the intention for both parties were going out on a date.
To establish comfortability.
You picked her up, you dropped her off, you got the door, but when you got the door, you weren't sure if it was corny, so you made a little joke, like, keep your hands in the vehicle at all times.
I don't have a car, so I'd probably...
This is a hypothetical.
I'd take the train. But continue.
Okay.
Yeah. Second date.
You guys are on the second date, and there's been some flirtation, but she's not as warm as she was the first time, and she's a little nervous. You could tell. You're a lot nervous. You don't know if she could tell, and you're trying to not let her tell because you're afraid to be vulnerable and honest. So instead of knowing how she feels, more importantly, instead of easily and simply expressing to her how you feel, you spend all of your energy and all of your happiness manipulating the fact that, hey, I'm not nervous. I'm a cool guy. And now you don't get to be present. You don't get to enjoy yourself. Now, at the end of the night, maybe things work out, maybe they don't, but I'll tell you this. You didn't have a good time.
Yeah.
Why not just say, listen, I'm a little nervous. I'm not sure if there's expectation to kiss on a first date or even a second date. So I just want to let this out there that I'm probably not going to go in to kiss you because I'm a little scared, but I do like you. If you want to go out a third time, I'd love that. Know this, you're getting a good night kiss. But if you don't, I respect that. I'm having a great time with you. No hard feelings.
This is not just going on in my mind. You're telling these things to the female.
You tell these to the people.
Wow.
You know why?
Because it's honest.
Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
And we're afraid of being vulnerable. If we redefine what vulnerability means and see it as a strength and not a weakness, we will strive.
I like that. Can I do it? Let's do another exercise kind of like this. So if I was on my first date with my girl, right?
Yeah.
And I had to redo it again. We'll just play it out like how you just described it.
I think I already understand where you're going.
I would say...
Ilani, I'm scared right now because I'm afraid that you might be able to smell my breath. And I'm afraid that once you smell my breath, you'll smell poo.
Why would you smell poo?
Because I have poo breath.
Oh, but it's not real poo. It would smell like poo.
No, it would smell exactly like poo, is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Because she's told me that. Well, people have told me that.
Okay.
There's something going on. Well, that's a whole different podcast. But I would say, look, I'm afraid to go in for the kiss because I'm self-conscious about the way my breath smells. And, you know, it might be a little pooey. And therefore, I feel like once you do smell my poo breath, you'll never text me back ever again.
Right.
So, well, am I going to get a
I have some thoughts on that.
Date?
I have some thoughts on that.
Okay.
Three things. One, I would say, you don't need to say poo as many times as you did. You know, you're almost asking her to not like you. Okay.
I'm so sorry, Rick.
It's okay.
You caught me off guard. I'm so sorry.
Well, you can't catch someone on guard. That's not even catching them, you know?
Okay. Say it again.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
So you don't need to say poo as much as you do.
Okay.
Also, since you know this is an issue, honesty isn't an excuse for not trying to better yourself. You can't be like, yeah, I'm a gross guy and that's who I am. Find a mouthwash that is meant for bad dry breath and just take care of that. Look on Amazon. A friend of mine, horrible breath. He has a medicated, almost over-the-counter type of medicated mouthwash.
Are you referring to Listerine
or
peroxide? What are you referring to?
I don't know. It's a certain mouthwash that's for people that have abnormally disgusting breath. So I would just look into that. Maybe you could get them to sponsor the podcast.
That's great.
You know, every episode, you take a shot because you're
Rick,
so close.
Can you put that energy, that positive energy of like that kind of promotion?
I just don't know the name of the product.
Just make something up like Tom's mouthwash.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to make a spec for this. So you could show them and you could get competition from all the poo mouthwash companies.
I would love it.
And then you could say we could put this in here and put it in.
Yeah.
So it'll go a little something like this. How do you edit this? In Premiere?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay, I'd like this to be. I will do this under one condition because I don't do free ads.
Okay.
That you guarantee me that you will key this and go for the length of this commercial and bring it in like 20%, so it comes in slow. You'll do that?
He could do. This guy's a master editor.
Great.
Master editor.
Would you put in some royalty fee music, a little score under this? Now, if you don't want to, I totally understand.
Absolutely.
Great.
Whatever you need.
Before you do that, I want to have a push in that comes in on Instagram at Rick Glassman. Take your shoes off podcast.
Absolutely.
And then one more thing.
In the description box.
Yeah, but I want it right here, right before the commercial. And the last thing is, right when that happens, I want you to put that little card up, that gives a link to one of my podcasts of my choosing, which I'll text you.
We can do that on YouTube. We just figured it out in the YouTube studio thing. Yeah, we figured that out.
You got yourself.
Is there any other needs that you need?
No, I got it.
Okay. So you're about to do, you haven't done the commercial yet.
Well, we've been doing the commercial, but I'm going to
just
do it concentrated.
Okay. So how much time? Okay.
Ugh. No. I don't really want him to come around. He has some gross breath. Yeah, that's not something I want to hear. Now I know what you're thinking. I've had bad breath my whole life. I would need some type of a magic trick to fix that. But lucky for you, I'm a magician. Now, mouthwash guarantees not only fresh breath, not only a dry mouth, but the guarantee that for 8 hours, you'll never have to go into the bathroom and see if your fogs up a spoon or, you know, your breath. Now, I went on a date with this girl once. She was beautiful. I'm talking pat, pat, poop, poop, pat. But my breath stunk, so I didn't kiss her. That girl ended up being Steve Jobs. I could have been a billionaire. Even though I don't have $1 billion, I'll tell you what I do have. Oh, be right there, Fresh Breath Club. A whole sense of new identity and good friends. Here's to the mouthwash that I'm talking about. Oh, and that fresh smell. And then you come, that was the whole time, that fresh smell, that's where it, and it came up to me. And then right before that fresh smell came up to me, and then I turned, stop. That's where the key stops, where it is. Right tight, that fresh smell. And then pops that guy to where this is.
Very impressive.
You're going to take care of that, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Rick, whatever you need.
Thank you. Well, I would love a foot rub.
The ballpark. You're hitting it out of the ballpark tonight.
Good. Thank you.
I just thought, I just love watching you work because I didn't want to interrupt your performance or anything. Do you also write, like, have you thought about directing and writing and doing all these other things?
I very much want to be directing. I'd like to give a shout out to my miniseries, The Sixth Lead. I was on a television show.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Steve Carell was always looking at the lens. Okay, it wouldn't be The Office. It'd be The Punny, or, you know, you'll fill it in.
Sixth Lead on what network?
You could just see it on my YouTube channel now or at thesixthlead.com.
Oh.
It's a web series. I was on an NBC multicam for a few years, and I was the sixth lead on that show.
Wow.
And I made a little web series about my process and... I got to tell you something. I'm very, very sincerely proud of it. And if you guys check it out and if you like it and you want to buy a T-shirt, they're $130.
A ticket?
A T-shirt.
A T-shirt.
I'm selling T-shirts for $130.
What kind of T-shirt?
It says The Sixth Lead.
$130.
Mine.
Why would you charge over $100 for a T-shirt?
I guess I'll lower the price to $100.
Wow. So what's so special about this $130 T-shirt?
Not a lot of people have them. They're too expensive. So I'm building in the sense.
Yeah.
There's two types of market intrusions, okay, when you're starting a new product. The PT Cruiser is a perfect example of this. There is market.
I like that car, by the way.
Yeah. And you know why you liked it? Because it came in as a premium product and not a cheap novelty. And that's because they went market.
I like the PT Cruiser.
Yeah, they went product skimming. What that means is they came in at a high price. We're talking mid-20s.
20,000?
24,000. And then over time, they would skim the price down after they kind of penetrated this market.
Yeah.
Now, the other option is...
I haven't seen one on the road in a while, though.
Yeah, well, this was a flawed problem. This was a flawed idea.
Yeah,
because at a certain point, whether it's a car, whether it's a television show, or whether it's another person, once we stop projecting what we think it is, we start to understand what it truly is. Now, there's a saying that is, you don't truly know somebody for 2 years. You just fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. I argue, I don't know if I've ever known anybody. You know why?
Why?
Because if we didn't change, we wouldn't be human. And if we're not human, how am I going to get to know you?
Wow. Yeah. Then how does one stay with the same partner if they're constantly changing?
By not thinking you must so know someone, but to accept the fact that you never will. Now, you could trust someone's loyalty. And you could appreciate and love them and respect them, but that doesn't mean that they will be who they are, because who you think they are now, they may have never been, and who you want them to meet, they have maybe been the entire time.
So, like, both our loved ones, the women we're with currently...
I know what you meant.
If they decide to grow wings and fly away, there's no stopping them, is there?
If you look at it as a way to stop them, you're missing the entire point. Because it's not about how can you or can you. It's
that's
the fact
control.
That you must accept.
That's fear. That's fear. That's self-centered fear as well.
When I hear fear, I hear control. They're the same
word. They're the same thing. Okay, so what would be the more healthier outlook?
If you're afraid of losing somebody, you're not with them to be with them. You're there to keep them. Okay?
Ooh, wow.
Now, if somebody wants to leave, it can break your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to accept the fact that it is their decision. Now, when you're with a partner, you don't want to necessarily grow as they grow. You don't want to be connected to them. You want to help them. You want to nurture them. You want somebody that can make you better. And you understand that you're living your lives together, but separately. Now, by together, I mean in the same household, in the same marriage, in the same bond, in the same trust.
Yeah.
But on their own terms.
Jeez.
The moment you start parenting or being parented by your partner is the moment they become another person.
And they might resent you for the fact of you being
I agree with everything you said so far except for the word might. Because that, my friend, is the definition of resentment. We'll be right back with Marshall Rug Gallery.
So they will. Now we're back. We're back. Mm. So they will resent you.
You know, it's funny how you worded that. You looked at it as their resentment towards you as opposed to yours toward them. You were more scared of you losing their respect and love than you doing the opposite. And that inherently is the problem. You are living a life of fear.
You are absolutely right, Mr. Glassman.
Yeah.
How do I get to a point where I kind of, you know, maybe put on a narrow pair of glasses?
But before you even ask, give me a note card. Give me one second.
Please.
Don't say one word. Don't you say one word. Give me 1 second. Just 1 second. Don't look at what I'm writing, okay?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. You ask your question. Because I already have an answer.
I forgot what it was.
Something about putting on glasses.
Yeah, how do I get to a point where I'm putting on a new pair of glasses to get a new
perspective
right. on the whole thing.
Yep. I'm glad that you asked. I have one word for you.
And the word is
acceptance.
Acceptance is the key.
I can set a goal for myself and find ways to try and reach it, sure.
Yeah.
But then what? You reached your goal? When will you be satisfied? When will you accept the fact that you are enough and you are literally all you can be? And the moment we realize that, we stop working on what I want to become and we start appreciating what I am. And you reach an equilibrium with your friends, with your loved ones, and you attract the people that attract you. And you just, you don't have to worry about, oh, I'm supposed to wear a leather jacket today. Or right. I better fuck her in a way where it's like I make her come real fast. Maybe you're not a make a girl come fast kind of guy. I am. But that's just by happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
I make her come right away. But it's not like I figured out this magic move. My dick's huge.
How big is it?
It's about, it's sometimes a little under eight, usually up, it goes up to 8 1/4. Depends on like how hard I am.
8 1/4.
But eight inches.
Hold up. I'm trying to look at the metrics here. 8 1/4, you said?
Yeah.
Dude, that's really, really big.
I got a big dick, but that's not the point.
So just for the viewers, okay. 8 1/4. That's a big. That's you.
Mm.
This you have this much meat.
Mm. But you know what?
That's a lot of meat, man.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah,
can
go ahead,
Rick. Something
Rick.
That's gonna make you feel good.
Yeah.
Are you familiar? Of course you're familiar. You're a guy. I don't have to ask.
Yeah.
No, go. Come say. Come on.
No.
Say,
am I familiar with what?
Say ask.
No, yes.
You don't need to hear.
Yeah. Yes. I do. But I do want to know, Mr. Glassman. Yes, sir.
Explain the G-spot to me.
The G-spot is near the woman's reproductive organ, which is the vagina. It's at near the top, near the clitoris, or somewhere near there where...
What do you mean near there? The whole area is not that large.
Well, it's...
Do you not know? It's okay. It's okay to say I don't know.
I kind of don't.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
All of us guys think
is it the clitoris?
Is the G-spot the clitoris?
Yes.
Well, we'll have an answer with you right when we get back. No. The clitoris is not the G-spot. The problem isn't not knowing.
I didn't know. You're making me sweat, Rick.
Stevie?
You're making me sweat.
Stevie?
Yeah.
Stevie. Mark Twain once said, the problem isn't not knowing something. It's knowing something for sure when it just ain't so.
Oh.
It's okay to not know something.
But I admitted that I was wrong.
Listen,
I was wrong.
Great.
I didn't know. I'm wrong. And let me rephrase. I don't know.
That's fine.
And I'm not ashamed because it's okay.
Yeah.
That's how you learn. Explain now where it is.
Okay. So the G-spot normally is approximately 2.5 to 3 inches in the upper uterine wall. So you go into the vagina, not the uterine wall, but in the pussy.
Yeah.
You go in the vagina and on the belly button side. So it's 3 inches in. It's a finger length. All fingers could reach it.
It's inside the vagina.
It's inside the vagina. Now, you can't necessarily... Sometimes it's hard to feel. It has a different texture.
Oh, you have to curl your finger?
You don't have to. You could just do like a bike ramp up.
Oh, bike ramp.
Because it's often stimulated by pressure, not just by movement.
I've seen that in videos.
So would you like more or would you like to keep guessing?
Keep going. No. You go.
Okay.
I know nothing about this.
So the G-spot is something that you want to feel. And as it becomes aroused, much like a penis. Penis. It fills with blood and becomes larger. So feel around, and as this is happening, you'll notice where it is. And then you want to press on it. Now, some girls like it differently. Some want more pressure. Some like it to be a come here motion. Some want a circle. Listen, if I knew how every girl's G-spot got off, I'd be fucking the Prince of Persia or something.
Right,
but I'm not that. I'm not that guy.
Absolutely.
So it's important to ask questions. Now, I don't just mean, does this feel good? I mean, ask questions like, you like that, you bitch? You know, or whatever the type of dirty talk you guys are consensually into.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah. And you just keep doing that. And then once she starts saying, she'll say things to you like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing to me? You know, stuff like that. And that's when you know that you're onto something. So am I going to be in frame if I stand up? You don't need to have my head in frame.
Yeah, hold on.
So
yeah,
once, once it gets going, you're getting in there, and she starts to do things like this. She'll start to do things like, oh my God, what the fuck? Oh my God, what the fuck are you doing to me? What the fuck is happening to my body? I've never fucking felt this. Stuff like that, right?
Amazing.
And then you want it, you ever see a fireworks show, Stevie?
Absolutely.
Stevie?
Yeah, Disneyland.
Stevie.
Yeah, Disneyland.
The grand finale
Disneyland.
Is at the end.
Yes.
I'm not ready to give her the business. We're only 30 seconds in and she's ready to blow.
Oh my goodness.
So what you want to do is, now it's important that not just for sexual connection, but connection in general, look her in the eye and let her know how beautiful she is. Look
I
at
can't
me.
Do, I can't stare at you.
No, you don't have to do it. No, we
just,
can stop. We can
I'll
stop.
Pretend she's there.
No, we
just,
can stop. No,
I
we,
can't just,
okay,
I just, okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'll just do it. Here.
Okay. But why is she so high? Is she standing on a bed? What are you doing? How is it down there right there? What are you doing?
Sorry.
It's okay. But still, that's better.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Now, may I advise using your ring finger and middle finger? Yeah. Great. Now, you wouldn't have a fist like that because that would be.
So that's just the right technique, right?
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to get it in far enough. Your thumb is getting in the way. Put your thumb out. Put your thumb out. Go like this. All right, put your hand out, palm out like you were asking for a low five or asking for a high five by giving a low five, I should say.
Yeah.
All right, now only move your index finger, only move your ring finger and your middle finger up. Okay, right? You're making it looks like a dog if you're doing shadow puppets. That's why it's called the shadow puppet pussy. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now what you're going to do is curl your wrist. Right, so you could take your the palm of your thumb and press down on their pelvic bone to have the G-spot be lower and closer to your finger.
Wow, right? You're right.
Now
huh?
you could kind of squeeze that. You feel it out. You let them know. You listen to their body. You listen to their moans. You listen to their movements.
That's it, huh?
And as it starts to happen, you look at them. You suck their tits, or you put a finger in their mouth, tell them.
Yeah, they like that.
It is that they like, and let them know not just how sexy they are, which obviously she's the sexiest girl I've ever seen. Let them know how much you care about her.
This is a very important factor. Is this part the support system?
Now, sometimes you could literally, if she's on her back, use your other hand and actually push down on it. Like,
am I doing this right? Just look at my technique.
Plate.
Am I doing this right?
Yeah, but you're moving too fast. You're showing off. It's not about how good you are. It's about how good she feels. And the moment your ego goes away.
The faster, the better.
No, baby. The grand finale's at the end. Now, if she wants it faster, you go faster. But if you go faster the whole time, how are you going to appreciate the sunny days if it's always sunny?
Rick, look.
What I'm asking for you to do is just press up against it and listen to her. Right. Then you start moving, right? Once she's into it. You know how you know a girl's into it?
How?
Because she does this kind of thing. She goes like this. Yeah. She'll say. Like you asked her, is this good? She'll be like that. Say, keep doing that. Don't stop that. Now, a lot of guys, when they hear don't stop that, they get excited and they're like, oh, you think that's good? Well, let me go a little into the grand finale. She didn't say grand finale.
Yeah.
She said, keep doing what you're doing. Too many guys try to take control of a woman's body.
Yeah.
And when they think they like something, they try to switch it up. No, it's very simple. She likes what you're doing. Keep doing it.
Why do they have to pee on your fingers?
Now, it's funny that you say have to. I like to say get to. You know why?
Because
it felt
I watch videos where it's the opposite of what you're explaining. The guys are like,
well, that's
like
the grand finale. You know, you get to the I haven't gotten to the grand finale.
Sorry.
I haven't gotten to the grand finale.
I'm jumping the gun. Continue. Sorry.
Let's say my goal was to make a dog's mouth water. I'm not going to show him a piece of bacon and throw it to him. I'm going to hold that bacon up, and I'm going to watch that pup drool, my friend. Now, you got to get this woman to enjoy the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, you kind of, I think we may have passed over this. It's important not that you give a girl an orgasm. It's important that she has an orgasm. The moment you take responsibility for her pleasure is the moment.
Take the ego out of it.
Take it completely out. If your goal is to make her feel good and not to make you look good, well, sweetheart, she's feeling good.
Right.
Now, when she tells you there, keep doing what you're doing.
This could be our handshake.
Sure.
Let's just practice. So stick out your... I just want to come up with...
This belongs to Betty.
No, come on, man. This is a
problem.
I'm sorry, but this is for her. No, I want to do a handshake.
This is hers. I have to be loyal.
Right, just at least
this belongs.
At least touch my pinky.
I'm sorry.
At least touch my pinky.
No,
come on. You're my guest.
I'll give you a fist bump.
Okay, but with this.
Yeah, where these fingers are away.
Yeah, with the fingers.
So these fingers.
So you could curl them. There you go.
Okay,
that's all I wanted.
Now, at a certain point,
Okay.
You want to fucking go to town, dude? But you have to earn it. Hold on. You have to take over for 20 seconds.
Okay.
I got lightheaded.
So. I'm going by the videos that I've seen on the internet. And usually when I see them doing this technique, the woman's peeing all over the place.
Squirt.
Not just on...
Dork.
Squirting.
Fucking dork.
Squirting all over the place. Not only on the dude's hand, but all over the ground as
well. Have you ever fingered a little broad?
Excuse me?
Or broad... we'll be right back with a word from Marshall Rug Gallery.
Visit Marshall Carpet One.
And we're back. That's a classic tool you'll see on the Take Your Shoes Off podcast. Okay. And when you come on, yes, we'll be cutting please. Around. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of great editing. It's a fantastic podcast.
No, we're going to plug it more and more and more at great. The very end as well.
Yeah, but you know, you
do you want me to do the banner? If you have a banner, we'll put it up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'll give you the logo. You'll put it, how about you put it on every...
How about a shirt? Can I... What do you...
I haven't had them made yet. I'm still trying to figure out what it is.
Why not? I would wear it on this.
I would like to get you a shirt once I have them made. I only made a few of these.
I want that style. Is that the baseball ball style?
Yeah, it's a ringer tee.
The sleeves.
I want a ringer tee.
Have some color to them.
I want a ringer tee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, are those going to be available anytime soon?
I don't know.
You should, Rick.
I'm working on it. I'm working on my
merchandise. How about this? Can I just give a suggestion? I love this, but navy blue, red, yellow, green. There's so many possibilities.
A lot of SKUs, though.
Excuse.
Yeah, a lot of different items.
Items.
You did the first two part of items the way you say my name, but without the items.
Oh, sorry. Do you want me to read?
Nope.
Okay.
Now we never taught you about how to tell the girl that you have bad breath, though, and I think that's worth continuing. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter.
How would you? No, I want to learn from you. I'm willing to just sit and listen to your suggestions on.
You know, sometimes punchlines don't need to be left turned. Sometimes they could be the shockingest thing of all, mm-hmm. and that's direct honesty.
So,
may I
continue?
What's your girlfriend's name?
Ailani.
Ailani. Ailani.
Ailani.
Ailani.
Mm-hmm.
Ailani.
So I'm her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Could you give me 1 second? I'm trying to figure out what word I want to say. I think I want to say Ailani. Such a beautiful word, Ailani.
That's me, babe.
What I think I really want to say is I want tea. I want T-O-T-E-L-L-Y-O-U something. I want to tell you something.
What is it, babe?
I don't know if you smell my breath. I have bad breath. It's a thing I have, and it's gross, and I'm sorry.
I know, babe.
Oh, good. I just was feeling insecure, and maybe I'll have a mint if I decide to make a move, I want to make sure my breath is good, so.
I could always smell it, Steve.
You do remember this is a first date, right?
Oh, okay, sorry. Let's go.
Yeah, do you not remember what we were doing?
No.
Because I let, when you called me babe, slide. I thought maybe she's just a cool girl.
No. Let's redo the scene. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're not babe. I don't know you. This is our first date.
Yeah.
Yes, Steve?
Should I do the Ailani? I want to tell you because I feel like I can't use that again.
That's your choice.
No, I have to find something else. That was the one.
But it's your choice.
All right, I'll have to just do something different now.
Steve, you having a good time? Something you want to talk about?
Yeah, God, how did you tell that there was something I wanted to talk about?
Well, you said you wanted to tell me something.
Oh, I forgot. I was just thinking about something different for a second.
Okay.
All right. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Poop.
Poop who?
You like that joke?
Well, where's the punchline?
What I'm asking is do you like the joke?
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad that you like poo-poo because my breath smells like knock-knock, who's there, poo-poo-hoo-poo-poo. So, okay. Ew. All right, goodbye. Goodbye. And then, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have told her. You would have left after she laughed.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or she could have stayed.
Yeah. There's always an or. People emphasize the or like we didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. We could go to the baseball game or we don't have to. Yeah, I know we don't have to.
Do you think other men struggle with very bad breath?
I told you a friend of mine does. And he has that mouthwash.
Let's do another commercial.
I think we got it.
Okay.
The second one might. Oh, ew, what about stink.
How about this?
I had a good joke.
A toothbrush. A toothpaste.
I had a stink joke.
A toothpaste. What's the best toothpaste to combat poo breath?
I'm not an expert in that. I'm just saying, you just Google it.
I thought maybe you would know.
I would. You know how I would know?
How?
If I had that problem.
You don't have poo breath.
So I don't investigate poo breath problems. I investigate the problems I have. And just the same reason that you pretended you knew what the G-spot was, the problem isn't what you don't know. It's accepting the fact that you think people do.
As long
as they think I know, I'm all right. Well, you know what? I don't care what they think. I care what you know.
No.
And what you know defines you. Not the ideas you have, but how you execute them.
Damn.
I'm acting on fear. I'm not acting on self. Then this is how I behave when I'm scared. That's not who I am. Yeah, it is.
Right, right. And that's why Mr. Glassman...
Please, my father's name was Mr. Glassman. Call me Dr. Glassman.
That's why Rick's on, just on the right trajectory. He's doing big things. Mm. Now's the time, because an hour literally flew by. I'm going to soon be on Take Your Shoes Off podcast with Rick Glassman. Now is the time to promote everything that you want to promote. Instagram, websites.
Don't need to talk about it.
Upcoming comedy shows.
Only one thing I need to promote. The only thing that really matters.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You gonna push in?
Okay, we're gonna, okay.
Love. Sincerely. Because with love comes the desire to educate. With love comes the desire to help. With love comes the acceptance of self. Now, I could want fame or fortune or big titties or little titties that are like athletic. Mm-hmm. But without love, those things are nothing more than just a glove to put on my already messy hands.
I love that. I love that. You're the first guest. This is a historical night. I'm not being sarcastic. This is a historical night. You're the first guest ever to say that. Mm. No guest has ever mentioned the word love.
You know what? You know what's interesting? You say that like I'm doing something special, but all I hear is the fucking problem. Nobody's talking about the one thing that matters.
Love. I'm telling you, I'm not BSing you.
Why would
you?
You're
the only. This is over 100 episodes we've had.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You don't have to do that, but no. Thank you. Over 100 guests we've had.
What is that in Korean? What you just said? Thank you. What was that?
Oh no, I said thank you. That wasn't a Korean word. I don't know Korean that. Son of a gun.
We'll put up subtitles for that.
Yeah, we'll put up subtitles.
That's a bit I did
over 100 guests.
With your brother.
You could do that with Bobby.
No,
he'll do an act out.
I just feel like I need
to admit that
is a recycled bit I did when your brother came on.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
He said
something and I said subtitles. Okay. And it was a classic bit and I threw it in. And
Has he done your podcast?
Yes.
And he had fun?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done his podcast?
I haven't yet. He said he's going to have me on and I would very much like to, but
you want
to wait.
When you want to put something on the universe and say, Kalila, Bob?
Kalila, Bob, I hope all is well.
Out of love.
Out of love.
Out of love.
What I'd like to ask of you is...
Reach out to Rick
Glassman. To continue
Rick
doing what you're doing, and the universe will put everything else in its place.
There you go.
Is this airing in December by chance, or until January?
I would have to, because we're ahead on episodes right now, because of the holidays, we're all mixed up. It's going to be at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Because I have, I'll tell you, they'll tell us
just
them
being
about
honest
something
with you.
That,
yeah,
that
we're ahead
already
right now.
Happened.
Go ahead.
But starting December 23rd, I'm doing 8 nights of Take Your Shoes Off, where I have 8 mini holiday episodes, 8 nights in a row for every night of Hanukkah from the 23rd to the 30th.
Wow.
And I'm doing a YouTube premiere of all of them at 3 p.m. And it's been so much work. All I'm doing is recording and editing.
How are you going to have the energy and endurance to do that,
I've
Rick.
Been doing it for the past couple of weeks. I got ahead enough, so the past couple of weeks I've been recording and editing.
Wow.
Shout out to Perry Groan, who's been helping me edit
some. That's crazy. Good for you, man.
I'm really excited about it.
So you don't want to promote any of your platforms. You just want to promote love. Is that what you're telling me?
If they want to see me, they'll know my name.
Exactly.
They can look it up. But in case there was one call to action, other than subscribing and clicking the bell for your podcast, of course, that would be just fucking be cool, love.
You know what? I'm gonna follow your lead because I have a whole thing here.
This is a business too.
No,
you can love and still promote your things.
No,
are you
no,
sure? That's
no,
a lot of stuff.
No.
You got your stevieweebyshow.com website. You got your Patreon.
No.
You got your Instagram, which
don't
is UANSO something.
No,
you got that one. I don't know.
Throw that away.
Okay.
Look,
I'm just trying to love you.
All I want to promote, because you're inspiring me, I want to promote love too. And I'm not going to read that tonight.
Okay. Well, you could put the details in the description. Like, put a link to my show.
And if they want to look at it, they have the option to look at it. But I want to follow your lead.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read those things. And I'm just going to leave it at love. And I'm going to lift this up. Are we good? Or do you... Because it's the hour mark.
Well, how about we leave with a little number? Maybe you could sing a little bit about love.
Okay. I'll sing a song for you. Go ahead. Well, okay. Ooh.
song.
Oh, okay,
well.
Okay. Sorry, sir. Let's just do it again. Okay. We got.
Take your shoes off. See you next Monday and have a good rest of the week.